Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We begin with that deadly shooting right here in New York. Two young police officers, both in their 20s, shot in the line of duty while responding to a domestic dispute. One was killed, the other at this hour fighting for his life. First responders overnight saluting their murdered brother as his body left the hospital. New York's mayor calling the incident an attack on all New Yorkers. Officer Jason Rivera died after being shot twice by the suspect. Officer Wilbert Mora is in critical condition, wounded in the back of his head. The alleged gunman also shot in the neck and shoulder by a third officer who was on the scene. That officer is being credited with preventing further violence.
That's ABC News reporting on those New York Police Department officers who were shot over the weekend. And yesterday I started the show off with a little bit of feeling and emotion about how we're not talking about this enough. These officers are being gunned down, and we're not outraged. We should be outraged. We should be absolutely outraged when this happens each and every time. And I mean, the bodies are piling up. It's a travesty. So interesting enough, I think that what spurred me into doing this spurred a lot of other individuals into doing this, because I have seen a lot of coverage in the last 24 hours on focusing on supporting law enforcement and having a collective message, or a call for a collective message, that we support law enforcement. What a bizarre thing to have to ask for. It should be a given. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Very glad that you're here with us today. After our conversation yesterday about this particular issue, I got a note from the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police, and it's an opportunity for you and for me to actively support law enforcement here in the state of Missouri. So we're going to speak with their executive vice president, Jay Schroeder, in about 15 minutes. And I'm excited to bring him on because I think it's something that we can discuss that's positive. That's a positive step forward into being an active supporter. Put your money where your mouth is, or put your feet where the action that you want to see is, and be a part of a solution instead of just constantly griping about the problem. So we'll speak with Jay Schroeder, who is with the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police, in about 15 minutes. We're also going to speak with Jim Carafano. Is not available today. He had to take the day off. He let us know that. But we are going to speak with the Heritage Foundation. Daniel Kokas is with us at 1:10 in the usual Jim Carafano spot to talk to us about what's going on in Ukraine, because it seems as though this is escalating, inching forward in the direction that you would assume that the Biden administration would not have wanted it to do so. What is Vladimir Putin doing? And when is he going to do it, I guess? I was going to say, is he going to do it? Is the question, will Vladimir Putin march into Ukraine, or is it when will he do it? So we'll talk to the Heritage Foundation at 1 o'clock with that. And I'm very excited at the 125 segment. So in the middle of the 1 o'clock hour, through the rest of that 1 o'clock hour, we have coming in Dr. Joe Kongas, who you've heard me speak about quite a bit here on the show. STLallies.com is the website. But Dr. Joe Kongas is a new partner here with us on the Annie Fry Show, but he is a pediatric concierge medical provider. And in the world of healthcare right now, where a lot of people are scratching their heads and they're looking at their current medical providers for themselves or for members of their family, specifically their kids or their grandkids, they're asking themselves what kind of level of trust they can put in those medical providers. Well, Dr. Joe Kongas is going to talk to us about his concierge pediatric care. And we're going to talk to him, like, what is concierge medicine? We're going to talk to him about how insurance works with that, how he works differently with patients, and also his philosophy behind caring for your kiddos today in a crazy, crazy time to be providing medical care. And your questions. I'll ask him your questions as well. So what I want you to do is, if you have a question for Dr. Joe, on the live chat right now, on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can participate in the live channel, live chat there, also the Annie Fry Show Twitch page. And you can ask your questions, and Hannah will be watching and pulling those questions aside so that when the doctor comes in here, we can throw some of those questions his way and get his medical professional opinion on him and have a discussion. So that's happening in the 1 o'clock hour, and we're excited to have him in here. He's great at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time, and it's an important conversation to have. Let's get back a little bit to what we were discussing yesterday and what I opened the show here with, because I was peeved yesterday when we look at how aggressively we were divided in the summer of 2020 when, realistically speaking, between the Derek Chauvin and the George Floyd case, nobody was really on the side of Derek Chauvin. The reason to be perceived to be on the side of Derek Chauvin is because you support police. But we're constantly thrust into this conversation where if you support the police, then you support every police officer that's ever walked the face of the planet. Well, that's absurd. You know that's absurd, and I know that's absurd. And if you were to have a conversation with somebody who, you know, is active in the what I would refer to as the anti-police movement, they would say, you know, cops need to know that they're not above the law. Well, cops know that. Police officers do know that. Some of them are bad. Some of them are bad at it. I bet you work with somebody in accounting who's bad at accounting or who's a bad coworker at accounting, and you just can't believe that they're there and you wish that they'd get their comeuppance because you just can't believe how they account. Is that the right word? I'm not 100% sure. We all have those people. If you work in a cafeteria serving food to the kiddos and you're a lunch lady, there's probably somebody who's not the greatest lunch lady. If you're not a good cop, the stakes are higher. If you're not a good medical practitioner, the stakes are higher. If you're somebody who is dealing with the public, the stakes are always higher. I don't know any cops who don't hold themselves to a higher standard than the average citizen does because they know that they are not above the law and they know that they are under a microscope while they do it. And the people who, like, I know people in my own life. I know people personally. I can tell that if they were to serve in law enforcement, that they'd be the type of people who would get a trip off of that, off the power and the authority and the badge. They're not cops. They're not the people who were put into that position. And if they were, I would hope and assume that they would be knocked down into the place that they need to be so that they can reflect the badge and the uniform the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the law that is present. There is a absolute need for a shift in conversation. And this is what I'm noticing, and Twitter is the best place to notice this for the sole purpose that the conversations have to involve brevity. The grounds with which you choose to argue with somebody on Twitter, the way arguments take place in Twitter and now the way they take place in real life because Twitter has become real life, you're never arguing about the details of the problem that you want to solve. Basically, everybody comes into these arguments and they're fighting on different fields. They're setting different ground rules. So, for instance, on Twitter today, I have somebody who's telling me that vaccines are good for kids and that in order to care for our children, we need to get them vaccinated. And I'm like, excuse me, but I have no children with you, sir. Nor will I ever. I know what's best for my children. It is my job in life to do what's best for my children. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. Todd Pirro, who has been a guest on this show and is a guest on the morning show here, Mark Cox Morning Show, retweeted a Fox and Friends first tweet, which I think he's on that show. He says that they're in talks on a California proposal to mandate vaccines for children as young as 12 years old to attend school, and Democrats' continued efforts to take away the rights of parents. And there's a video about that. And Todd says, why do so many leaders fail to recognize that if I raise them and change their diapers and they are my kids, not theirs? Seems simple, no? I don't understand this idea of the collective and our children. They are mine. They are my husband's. They are nobody else's. That's the hill that I will die on. And I will do everything in my power to protect them from people who want to possess them for a good that they believe should be impressed upon my kids against my will or against my husband's will. My response is, if they can break the bond of the family, then their power is limitless. There is no greater bond that exists on the face of the earth than that of a mother and a child, or of a father and a child. That is to be the strongest bond that exists. And if the government can weasel their way into that bond and break it, their power is limitless. That will not happen in my family. I have a feeling it will not happen in yours. The response to this on Twitter, in the confines of the Twitter argument, which has now seeped its filth into the way we discuss things in person when these issues come up, is, no, it's because they don't want people to die. It's the same reason kids today don't have to fear being crippled by polio. Vaccines are our best tool to protect our kids. Well, excuse me, but we don't have the time to go over the difference between the polio vaccine and the COVID vaccine. But regardless, it is still my decision and my husband's decision as to what to do with my children that are his children, not yours, sir. What he does is take the point that I made, which is, I know what's best for my kids. I'm willing to die for my kids. Mr. Twitter man, you are not willing to die for my kids. That's the argument here. It's not about, I'm not arguing with you as to whether or not vaccines are good or bad. I'm not even going down that road. And I challenge you, when you have these conversations, not to go down that road, because it's not about that. I might have vaccinated all of my kids. I might have vaccinated half my kids. I might have vaccinated none of my kids. That's a decision for my husband and for me to make. The point here, sir, man on Twitter, is that it is nowhere near your decision. And we are pushed right now in our political climate, in our social climate, to have this kind of vague understanding of children as an existence, as a possession of the culture. And there is a way that we should possess these children and treat these children collectively. This isn't a new idea, but it has never been this supported in a widespread fashion. And this casually discussed. Can you imagine walking up to a mother in a supermarket and start suggesting to her what kind of medical care she should provide for her kids? That's absurd. Everybody knows it. But on Twitter, it's minutely. I was going to say daily. It's minutely. It's secondly. I responded to this man, I have no children with you. My kids are my kids. And I, along with my husband, absolutely know what's best for them. They are not our kids. His response are your kids vaccinated for polio, measles, mumps? If your kids break their arms, do you handle it yourself or take them to a doctor? You absolutely do not know enough to provide medical care to your children. Well, here's the deal, sir. My point to you is not in any way, shape, or form. And I reiterate this conversation to you because it's important to understand how people talk about these issues. And it really will start to make clear why nothing ever gets solved on any particular. This doesn't have to be about vaccinating kids. This is about every political issue that has people on opposite sides of the aisle. My point to this man, whom I don't know and don't intend to ever know personally, is that I will make the best decisions for my child. My husband will make the best decisions for my child. It's very possible that those decisions could involve the things that you would suggest that we do. But you need to understand, sir, that these decisions that we're making are not because you're suggesting it. It's because we have medical providers whom we trust. We know our instincts. We know our kids. And we make the best decisions for our kids. They're not your kids. Back off. His response to me, when I reiterate to him that I am talking about providing medical care for my kids, is to list off a bunch of other medical decisions that obviously one would make. And he's trying to win this argument. And he will win it if I engage and concede my point, which is back off, they're my kids. It's very much so that simple. He doesn't understand that. Or it's also very possible he does. Which means he doesn't care about my kids. He cares about winning a Twitter argument. And I'll be darned if I am going to concede some sort of medical decision to a stranger whose only concern is winning a social media argument over me because he wears a blue shirt when he gets up in the morning and he assumes that I wear a red one. This is how simple and stupid our conversations have boiled down to. When you are engaged in conversation with people, you first have to understand each other enough to know what is the end goal here. If the end goal is to understand each other more, continue with that conversation. The second that you sense that the person you're talking to cares only about beating you in an argument, tell them good day. Agree to disagree. Walk away from that conversation. You will save your sanity. You will save yourself the frustration. And chances are you'll heap a bit of frustration on the head of the person who you chose not to engage in. I am more resolved in my decision to provide for my kids the medical care that they need than I was before I had that conversation, because I once again am reminded that we're discussing each other's medical care over political terms on a political field. And this guy's trying to score touchdowns and I'm trying to hit home runs. And guess who wins in that game? Nobody wins in that game. Everybody can walk away and feel like they won, but nobody wins. And right now, while that's taking place, the country is losing because what's going on around us is not good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Jay Schroeder, who's the executive vice president of the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police, and find out what we can do to support those men and women who are serving our community in blue. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
I think this is a rebound to a movement, right? You're seeing intentional cop killings at a 20-year high. When you go and you look back at it, where was the they're going since 9/11. That's a really weird comparison. You should remove 9/11 and see how far it goes back, right? This is a rebound. We kind of predicted this when there was this constant, relentless drumbeat from the media and the far-left activists that devalued the lives of law enforcement. They never said, like, these human lives aren't worth it. But if you said blue lives matter, what were you called?
Right. So, yeah, blue lives matter. You can call me whatever you want. I don't care. I can handle it. Thick skin and all. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We were talking yesterday quite a bit about how we haven't had a rallying cry in this country that we need to restore the value of those lives that are wearing the uniform. And listening to Greg Gutfeld, their comment on that is so spot on, how we've had political movements in this country who have effectively devalued those lives of the men and women who serve us in our uniforms, who fight crime in the streets. And now we fight crime in the streets and we don't prosecute it in the courts. It's absolutely insane. What can we do to be a part of a solution? How can we support those people who we know lay their lives on the line each time that they walk out the door and say goodbye to their family and get in their car? Well, let's talk to Jay Schroeder about that. He is the executive vice president of the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police, and he's on with us right now. Jay, it's a real pleasure to have you on the Annie Fry Show here. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. You know, I want to ask you a bit about the Fraternal Order of Police and Missourians alike. What can people do? What's the best thing that they can do to lend their support to those people who are sacrificing their time and, you know, they're not becoming billionaires doing it to protect their communities?
Well, it was actually a thing we had talked about earlier this fall, is how do we get our messaging out and get more involved and get the community involved? And this idea arose where we could have citizens kind of join and become community members of the FOP and use those funds for messaging. We use the funds to help pay for, we do a law enforcement memorial every year in May in Jefferson City. We use money to deploy a national disaster trailer whenever there's a natural disaster or any type of civil disobedience or anything like that. We send a trailer out. It was actually just in Colorado for the wildfires. But we would use all that, and that would help people get involved. And for these guys that go out every day and do a really, really hard job, and really no fanfare or anything like that, that's the way people can step up and help the police. And we just had two officers injured in St. Louis last night, just, you know, working an accident on the highway when somebody came through and hit him with a police car. So, I mean, this is a dangerous job, and I think this is a way we thought that the community could get behind us and help the police.
So the community can become a community member of the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police. How does something like this work? What does it require of the individual?
It's pretty easy. You just go to MissouriFOP.com. You get on the website and you can log on. There's different levels of membership, but generally it's $45 a year, and you become a member. And you're lending your voice to us, so we know what the community wants. Also,
Yeah, that's an easy, simple way. What was the website again, so that we can share it?
MissouriFOP.com.
Okay, fantastic. So let me ask you: we're speaking with Jay Schroeder, who's the executive vice president of the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police. The mood for somebody who puts on the uniform right now, those men and women who are serving their communities, 2020 was a really tough year for the country, but I can imagine anybody, I know people who serve in law enforcement and I know their families, and I know it was a very difficult year for those individuals who had nothing to do with the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd case, but they did wear a uniform, and that meant something different in 2020 than it had meant before. What is the tone and the tenor right now for those who are serving us? How are they feeling? How's their confidence?
Well, I think over the last, you know, the last 6 years, we've been kind of in battle. We were starting to win back the trust of the community. And then we had this incident in Minnesota, and it kind of, you know, one step forward, two steps back. But the men and women that are still serving and continue to serve are still doing a great job and giving their best foot forward to the communities that they serve. And they love working in the communities they serve. And I think the trust of those communities is with these policemen. It's just that some of the loud talking gets in the way.
Yeah, you know, Jay, that's something that I think is the most unfortunately under talked about thing, is how many people really are grateful for the police. How many communities would really like to see an increased presence in their neighborhoods, but the loudest among us, the people who have, you know, television cameras and microphones, don't necessarily reflect upon those stories because they're not as sensational as maybe the more dramatic ones. Do you find that the support on the ground in the communities is there, or does that need work too?
Well, I think everything can always get better, but I mean, I haven't been in one community because I'm a policeman at St. Louis, and had anybody say we don't want the police there. You know, we had our Prop P, which was our police sales tax, passed overwhelmingly in the inner city communities. So that's something telling right there.
What do you say to individuals who have considered a profession in law enforcement? Because I think that from the outside looking in, it might be something that might have piqued the interest of an individual, but due to the current climate, maybe they felt like it's not the right time. Are you encouraging to those individuals to give it a shot?
Absolutely. This is still a very noble profession, and it will never be anything but that. And if somebody wants to give their time and do this job, it's the most rewarding job in the world.
Well, Jay Schroeder, Executive Vice President of the Missouri Fraternal Order of Police. One more time, I just want to encourage people to go to MissouriFOP.com. And is it pretty easy to navigate once you go to that website, how to become a community member?
Absolutely. It's super easy, and you get it done right there.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to speak with you. We appreciate what you do, and we want to let you know how grateful we are.
You got it. Thank you.
Of course. Bye-bye. Go to MissouriFOP.com and sign up today. $45 a year. That's not a lot. And what is that, like $4-ish, less than $4 a month. So it's a coffee. It's an overpriced coffee. I want to take a quick break. We come back, Wiggins America in studio with us. And a reminder, in the 1 o'clock hour, Daniel Kokas is coming on with us. He's a foreign policy analyst at Heritage, specializing in those concerns that we have here in the United States about what Russia's interests are in Ukraine and what Russia is willing to do and what we can expect them to do. And how does that include the United States? We'll talk to Daniel about that at 1 o'clock. And then our friend Dr. Joe Congas in studio with us for the rest of the 1 o'clock hour. He is a pediatric concierge medical provider. What is concierge medical practice? We're going to ask those questions. We're going to ask the questions about treating kids in a pandemic. And we're going to talk about his philosophy about working with parents to make the best decisions for their kids. It's the right way to do it. Dr. Joe will be with us in the 1 o'clock hour. Your questions as well, asked on the live chat, Annie Fry YouTube channel, Annie Fry Show Facebook page. Ask your question to Dr. Joe. Hannah's pulling them aside, and we will include those in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Some people think this Cleveland woman is brewing the strongest tea in American politics right now.
If you would have told me like 2 years ago that I would be alienated from the Democratic Party, I wouldn't have believed it. I really, really hated Trump, what was going on in the Trump administration, but I just don't think people realize what a big deal closing school. I have like a friend that I talk to about this a lot, and all of a sudden we're at odds with the people we used to agree with.
Angie's a progressive, but these days she thinks Democrats have put politics ahead of kids.
Wiggins! Oh!
At first, that reporter sounded like you.
Doesn't it sound like me doing a fake reporting?
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
No, that's a real CNN report. That's a real report that they tossed to on CNN.
I have some fun stuff from CNN for later today.
Okay, good. Because I have been scouring the polls looking for what moms, or what that report was specifically talking about was suburban women. How are they feeling? Every report I find was from pre-2020, and they were all talking about, well, suburban women are really leaving Trump, you know. So I can't find how that's going to impact 2022, but apparently it's a big deal. So I want to poll the room, and I already know where
you two... The moms in the room?
Yeah. I already know where you two...
One out of one mom say...
...stand on this issue.
Okay.
But in your life, your personal life, your people you talk to, your kids go to school, your wife's a teacher... You know, we have connections to schools all around us. Do you think that there has been a shift in the way that moms in particular would want to vote this year because of schools? Are you seeing that in your personal life?
I mean, I send my kids to parochial school. I'm married to a public school teacher. I get a lot of requests to be involved in things locally regarding schools, and I observe more than I participate, mostly because while my tax dollars are funding it, I do choose to send my kids elsewhere. If I were not Annie Fry talk show host, I'd probably be slobbering all over that thing. But I don't want to throw my weight and become a distraction to the specific issue. I don't think I'm a little offended. I'm going to put it this way. I'm a little offended the way people in politics, specifically in the wake of polls, but when you poll, that's the way you talk about polls is demographics and breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of suburban women just being these emotionally overwrought, like, oh, I can't stand the way he talks. It hurts my feelings. I don't know those people. I know people who don't like the way Trump talks. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, too. I know people who don't like Trump's policies. But the reason they vote a specific way has to do with their kids and always has. So I don't think that what's going on right now is new. And it's and I'm not saying at all, Ryan, that this is what you're saying, because this is a conversation that's out there. It's offensive to me when people are like, well, moms are waking up to what's happening to their kids. Screw off on that. Like, no.
That is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, then that was for you.
Thanks.
It's, to me, what it is, every election has a context of priority issues for each individual person. I don't know what it's like to be a black individual. I will never know what it's like to be a black individual, but I try very hard to not talk about black people issues, because I think that they are individuals who have individual priorities and individual concerns, and I think that that is cheap to do that. However, to your point, while specific issues have always been important to suburban moms, the issue they might be willing to sacrifice their, you know, fandom specifically for one particular issue now because they've had enough and they know that the only way that this is the kids are going to be the priority. The only way that this is going to get righted is to vote in that way. So that's a really long roundabout way of saying, yes, I think it is more of an issue now, but with the giant subtext of, let's not pretend that all moms were like taking naps while their kids at school and eating bonbons. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my goodness, things are bad for Johnny. What's going on? Who's the president? Joe Biden. I thought he was going to be such a great man. He seems so kind. Nope. Don't know those women. Don't know those women.
So, like, I'm in a little bit different situation because I don't have kids.
Is that how you spend your afternoons?
What's that? Eating bonbons?
At three. Starting at three.
I weigh like 700 pounds if I ate bonbons starting at three. Oh, my gosh.
Bonbon time.
I've never had one.
Reardon's on. It's bonbon time.
That's what we all do.
I've never, like, and this is an interesting thought, and I need to start considering this when I vote, because you said you vote with your kids are, like, prominent in your mind, first in your mind. I've never had to really vote with anyone other than myself in mind, because I don't actually have kids. But one of the things that makes me want to do as we watch and as we pay attention, now I don't know that it'll change the way that I vote, but is pay attention more to how the people that I would vote for would affect your kids or your kids. I need to pay attention to that as a person who doesn't have kids, because what happens with your kids is a big deal. And it's important to you, but it's also important that these kids are raised right and they're taught things that are correct, not things that are incorrect. So as far as like with parents and voting and that sort of thing, one of the things that I would say is I think that with seeing how teachers unions and, you know, certain politicians have spoken out, and like you said earlier in the first segment, the whole our children thing, I think it's caused parents to perk up their ears and pay a little more attention to the policies that the people that they would otherwise like are pushing, just because that really has that much more effect on someone who is such a priority and sits in a prominent role in their life.
Well, I've said in other areas too that in the last couple of years, politics has invaded everything. So you can't really avoid it. I was looking, like I said, for polling on this issue, and I found this CNN article that was sort of a focus group, so it wasn't quite a poll, but that's where I got that audio that we played at the beginning of this segment. And they also have a woman in here with the last name of Schmidt. She says, before, I would not have even considered voting for a Republican. Now I'm just looking for these magic words. Who's the politician that's going to say, quote, school's important, we're keeping schools open, unquote. And they go on in this article to, of course, defend that the administration currently in the White House is doing their darndest to open up schools.
I'm going to go back into the Obama years. It's not as simple as saying it's a Trump thing. Trump's the Frankenstein that Obama's Democratic Party created. That's, to me, an easy statement to make. But the nastiness that has seeped into our politics is funny to me, because the people who it turns off the most are the people who like to watch Real Housewives. So, like, if we did Real Housewives of D.C., but it was just a bunch of old crusty men who were fighting about things all the time, would people watch? I don't know. But people watch that stuff to be mindless. And it's funny because sometimes you're watching these people and you're thinking that they are mindless. Things can become very simple. I mean, where is this Ukraine story going to go? We're going to talk to Daniel Kokas with the Heritage Foundation here in a minute to find out what is at play and how the United States' role is going to be involved in that. But 3 weeks from now, it might shift away from kids in school and it might be national security and our foreign policy relations. And are you looking at this administration going, they got it. They got this under control. I'm not. And I have a feeling a lot of other individuals are. I mean, it will be a complex issue for American voters in November. But I just think that all of those issues that are usually kind of come rise to the top, they all don't favor Biden. They all don't favor the Democrats. The only thing that I can think of that would make a voter out there right now go, you've got to vote for Democrats, is if you want COVID to be the thing that puts everything to a shrieking halt because you're so afraid of it. You're so fearful of it that you're willing to sacrifice everything else that exists in your American life to avoid getting it. I know people who, for very good reason, did everything they could, like didn't eat out for over a year because of people in their family who they were working to protect. I understood it. It was not the way my husband and I lived our lives with our family. But people make those own decisions, and they got COVID. They got COVID early on, and it hit them. They had to get through it. They have some lasting effects for it. But what they were trying to avoid was death for loved ones in their family. The person who they were most concerned about avoiding it for was asymptomatic. And I hear this all the time, especially with this variant. People are like, yeah, we got it. Then everybody got it. Yeah, sniffle, had the worst headache I've ever had in my life for a day and a half. But, you know, at the end, it's fine. We're good. I'm glad it's over. Glad we got it. People who have five people in their family and three people got it, they're saying, I wish the other two would have gotten it. Mm-hmm. So it would be done with our house.
Yeah.
That's where the American individual is speaking on this issue right now. And after you've had it, and it's not the case for everybody, people very close to me have been in the hospital for this, and I've been very fearful for what was going to happen. I take it seriously. But for the vast majority of people, when you go through this and it's sucks, you're sick, and then you're over it, you think we've lost a year plus of our life for that.
Yeah. And aside from extreme fear of COVID, which absolutely, we all know people who treated COVID the same way as you're talking about. I don't know that we did, but we know people mm-hmm. who did. On the school issue, it seems as if, just from reading this stuff from CNN, which, of course, it's CNN, so they're going to try to spin it toward Biden. All the quotes in it were talking to moms, mostly in Ohio. I guess they focused on Ohio because it's supposed to be a swing state. They were all saying the same thing, which is, we don't necessarily like the way Democrats have handled this. Mm-hmm. And some of them were still saying, but we're still Democrats, so we're still going to vote. But a lot of them were not. And then I pivot from that issue. So that's schools, and that's one side of schools. They're losing schools on another news story. Have you seen this one yet?
I can't read it.
I held up a picture of Glenn Youngkin that's in black and white for some reason. She's
Virginia
like,
Governor
what in the world is that?
Sets up tip line to report schools teaching divisive critical race theory. Yeah. It's yeah. part of his day one executive orders.
Critical race theory. They're losing on that, too. They're losing Virginia. I mean, states that they should win, they're losing on multiple fronts on schools.
It's also, I think, important to look at those two school issues because those are two very separate issues. The idea of being in school and learning in person and critical race theory. The in-person learning is far and away the winning issue for whomever wants to support it. You want kids in school? You want to fight for kids in school? That's your winning issue. Critical race theory is also something that people, you know, on our side of the aisle are certainly paying attention to and freaking out about. But your first issue that you point out is, like you said, that woman is like, who among
Who's
you is keeping
it?
School open? You got my vote.
Yeah.
And it will, I think, dramatically impact local elections. There will be people who will pay attention to your school board election or whatever. I mean, people run as a Republican or a Democrat. People usually know the person is a Republican or a Democrat. But I don't know that you're like, you know, running for school board based on combating climate change.
Right.
I'm sure there are places that are. No, I take that back. What is Seattle doing? What is San Francisco doing? It's probably the winning issue there.
I always look in extreme local elections like that where there is no R or D behind the name and see who's putting up signs in blue and who's putting up signs in red.
Yeah.
Because usually, I don't know if you notice this.
They flip them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Republican tries to put up a blue sign and the Democrat tries to put up a red sign.
One of my dear friends who was running for office put up teal signs, and I just loved it. It's like, but really what is she? I need to know.
Or purple.
Yeah. Purple means you're kind of in the middle. It's a little red, a little blue. This was teal, man. This was like nothing. You couldn't equate it to anything.
Or a green sign.
Green party.
What in the world? Yeah, but local?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I need to know.
I was talking with people in the Madison County Republicans party last year about getting hate has no home here. Did I say this on the air just recently, or did I say this off the air?
We talked about the topic, but I don't think you said
this.
On
the air, I said, you need to get those hate have no home here signs and hand them out with every political sign you hand out. Because, hate has no home there either. And then that would be so frustrating for the other people to be like, that's not true. Hate has a home there. I know those people and they're awful and I hate them. Well, I don't hate them. But if I were a place that had hate in my home, I would hate them. But I have no hate in my home. But they have hate in their home. And it's very conflicting.
Hate has no home here. Trump 24. I want to see those two together.
I was strongly advocating for it, and they all liked it, and it was kind of a late idea. So, but it's on a local level, that issue, schools, is gonna be it. If God forbid we go into this next coming school year and people start remote learning from the jump.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. Well, your point that November's a long way away is a good one. Because if by August everything's back to normal,
people are remote learning right now. Did we think in the fall of 2021, did we think in the spring of 2021, you know, next winter, you guys are going to be remote learning again?
Yeah.
No, we didn't think that. We thought we were going to have 15 freaking days to slow the spread. It was 15 years. Sorry, guys. Bad news. All right, stick around. We've got Heritage Foundation on Ukraine and Dr. Joe Kongas. Get your questions in for the concierge pediatrician. Coming in studio in just a minute. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.